Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding, Ken's Movie Reviews. I'm your host, not Ken. Here with an amazing story to tell about an amazing story which has nothing to do with it. And it's hard to describe what we're actually, you know, talking about in this movie that is Venom, The Last Dance. So, this is movie number 3 in the trifecta of just simply breathtakingly amazing Venom movies, which have no connection at all whatsoever to Spider-Man or anything else Spider-Man related. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. We've done reviews in the past on, I do believe, the first Venom. Saw that in the theater, if I'm not mistaken. Second one, our goal was to watch this one in the movie theater as well, and then reality set in, and we did not. That's okay. It is now available for all to see on Netflix, streaming live to your home. So, when we do our reviews, we give scores on categories. We'll break that down, but initially, there is a brief discussion on, you know, should you watch it? It's kind of a spoiler-free recommendation. So here's the thing that I will tell you. If you have seen the first couple and they were good and you liked them, well, then watch the third because it's the same stuff. If this is a passing thought, let's call it, maybe don't waste your 2 hours on it. So that's the kind of quick and dirty I'll give on this particular one. Now, when you look at the Venom movies as a whole, I guess my real thought process on this is they've taken the character and how it looks and the fact that it's a symbiote, and they've taken an Eddie Brock character and put it in the movie, the end. There's just not a lot of storytelling that has anything to do with comic book world. So the fact that it keeps making, you know, $500 million in the theater is the whole reason they keep making more of them. So the real moral of the story on these is stop going to the theater to watch these so they stop making them. That's bad advice. Anyway, let's just get into the review. As usual, we'll break down the movie by a few categories, each having their own separate point totals. Highest score possible with the totals is 100. Lowest is a 0. We did a review recently on an amazing Jason Statham movie. Let's see if we can get a score better than that. If you look on our website, everybodylovespudding.com, you can see some of our previous movie reviews. I had given the original Venom 60. So let's see how this one stacks up. Okay, so let's first, we like to start with the cast. I kind of think in this one, the cast is pretty solid. So let's kind of work our way backwards. We always end with the plot. So let's just start with the plot. Some of the storylines carried over from previous things. There was a post-credit clip of Eddie Brock in, Mexican resort, Hawaiian resort, not a Venom movie, but it showed him being, you know, brought in the multiverse from Spider-Man. When Doctor Strange did the thing and he had the stuff and with the things and they brought all the variants of Spider-Man in. And then at the very end post-credit scene, we got, Eddie Brock chilling, leaves a drop of the Venom stuff behind. Cool. All right. So this kind of starts off, this movie starts off where that left off. And what you get from there is just kind of an introduction to the Null character, which is artfully done. When I say artfully, I mean like really poorly drawn and bad animation. Anyway, the whole point of this is that the symbiotes came from this Null character. And I'm no comics expert, but this Null character seems like a really powerful bad dude. So let's just randomly kind of introduce him and then just have him be in the background and then probably never do anything with him ever again. It's a great idea. But anyway, the Null character, which is, you know, bad guy, created the symbiotes. Now the symbiotes rebelled and they have him trapped, but he's magically started other creatures to go out and find a way for him to be trapped, untrapped, to get him free. But the symbiotes will fight him because he's, you know, a bad guy. Okay, cool, whatever. But the what's the key? What is the key to Null being free? It's a glowing orange ball of energy because a symbiote and a host merged. And so it's the MacGuffin. It's like it's the foolishness of a MacGuffin, but like stuck in a body that's not a MacGuffin, but it's a MacGuffin. It's really, anyway, how do you get this key? Well, when the hosts merge, it's come to tell, hey, when the host dies and then the symbiote merges and brings the host back to life, and now they've become one. Yay. Well, that's Eddie Brock and Venom. And so to save the universe from Null, what one of them has to die. Oh, okay. It's just so convoluted. There's other symbiotes, and the symbiotes are the protectors, right? The symbiotes are there to protect the universe from these invaders. You know, Null has these beasts out hunting for this key to get him unlocked, and they're bad guys. They kill people easily. They chop things up with vacuum mouths and shoot their guts out the back of their neck. Awesome. Great. It's just all around a lot of foolishness. You know, in previous movies, all those random symbiotes that appeared on Earth, and now in Area 51 of all places, in a top secret bunker under Area 51, they have all the symbiotes contained. You know, the symbiotes are there for their protection, and they're being studied by scientists and the military all alike. Let's, you know, have some of the scientists emotionally bond with these symbiotes, and there's different ones that do different things, and oh my god, I can't go on. Like, let's just put it this way, let's just give it a score. I can't go on anymore about this. The possible points you can get for the plot are 20. I'll give this a whopping 5. It should be lower than that. You know, sometimes we got to manipulate points so that we get the score that we want, and that's what I've done here. Okay, next category, the score. So the score is just your music selection and the background music. And honestly, the score in this one was fine. I didn't see anything that really stood out, but I didn't really see anything that really detracted. And I'll go back to the Beekeeper Jason Statham movie that we reviewed. It was like an instant. The score, the background music in that was awful, like bad, distractingly bad. This was fine. You know, the pace kept up. The stuff didn't seem like it was canned music. It was solid. Nothing that's going to bring you too terribly down. Nothing's going to, you know, hype you up at all. So I give the score in this one a 7 out of 10. Nice kind of just average score. Cinematography. So the cinematography, I feel like we do a lot. Ken will pay attention more to camera angles and zoom in, zoom out, and you're focused on this, but what does the background tell us? In addition to the CGI functions and the CGI look and feel and the fight scenes and choreography. And you know what? The CGI in this movie, for the most part, is pretty good. There's the whole Venom character is CGI. There's no practical effects in this movie. So when your budget is $120, $130 million, and the majority of that's going to animate the main character, that doesn't leave you a lot of other CGI budgets to do other things. So all of the other things that we saw throughout the movie that weren't symbiotes, there wasn't a lot of CGI stuff. Some helicopter crashes, there were some of those things. The fight choreography was pretty solid. I will say, when the symbiotes join a host and then they battle the big scary teeth vacuum creatures, those fight sequences were solid. I can't say anything too bad about that. You got a lot of the fast moving things to just kind of cover up some nonsense, and that's okay. You can't have crystal clear CGI 24/7 throughout a movie, so you got to blur some stuff just to make it easier to animate and make the sequences seem fast. That's okay. Compared to a lot of the other movies that might be out there, or especially in other Sony projects, Sony Spider-Verse, which is just hot garbage, the animation in this one's pretty solid. The facial expressions I feel like are pretty good. The mouth movements, the teeth, the color, all that stuff's pretty good. Some of the camera angles get a little, stoic at times, and some of the things get fast-paced to distract things for a while. And some of the sequences, positioning people in places, are built around having to do CGI in them, so that like the camera angles themselves are pretty boring, just so you can build in the appropriate CGI without having to blow up the budget. And I get that stuff too. Nothing too detrimental, nothing too crazy. I'll just take it easy on this one and do a cinematography score, usually out of 15. I'll do a 10. So once again, just a solid score, average score, nothing too crazy. Next thing, costuming and props. What were the props in this? There were some guns, helicopters. There were some scientific materials, a van that the family was driving around in. I didn't even get to the family. Weird little plot. Driver, people mover, whatever. Some of those things looked pretty solid. If you go with the costumes, do you count the Venom as more cinematography, or do you count it more as a costume? Right? I guess you can blend both of them and have both of those be parts of the score. The Venom character always looks pretty solid. The other symbiote characters just look like, hey, there's a green one, there's a black one, there's a brown one, there's a purple one, whatever. And then they shape their bodies into, knives and swords, and they can fight people with symbiotic big fists. Cool. All in all, everything in this movie, from a costume, from a prop, everything looked fine. The Eddie Brock character walking around in tattered shirts and shorts was appropriate. The suit and tie look, clean and finished, was nice and appropriate. The view of the other surrounding characters was fine. The military getup was fine. You know, sometimes that can be pretty cheesy if you're trying to slim the budget down. See Beekeeper, for example. So what we saw in here was a appropriately budgeted movie. So a lot of those, a lot of the view of people's hats and shirts and coats and stuff was appropriate, right? Not too layered down. I didn't see anything that really stood out to me in either direction in terms of it. Oh, that was great. Or like, wow, that really looked awful. So out of 10, that one's a 7. You'll see a similar set of score types here. Locations. So what were the locations in this? A little bit of everywhere. You had a lot of the West, let's call it. When I say the West, I say mountains and deserts. So that had a nice look to it. You had a river sequence. You had a sequence in the made-up Area 51. You had a sequence in Vegas. A sequence in an airplane, briefly, you know, flying as the Venom character stuck or held on, and they flew through the air. All those places actually had a really nice look and feel to them. I like the desert shots. You get a nice perspective of kind of like the grassy or arid regions and the mountains and the backdrop. And the Area 51 location looked fine. It was nothing to write home about, but it was fine. Vegas looked like Vegas. It's easy. You just kind of go to Vegas and you film some shots and then you make up your own little fake casino on the inside with cheesy looking slot machines. The end. Okay, so that's not that big of a deal. I don't know what else there is to really say. There was nothing in this movie that when you're watching it, you're going to be wowed by. Weird. But nothing in the movie that really stood out as like, that doesn't look real. That doesn't look right. Like I said, the Area 51 is just a cheesy, made-up underground science bunker thing. So that could have been worse, but for what it was fine. Nothing too great, nothing too awful. So that another fair value evaluation of that is just a great 7 out of 10. Okay, next we have the director. The director in this one is Kelly Marcel. Now, what can you tell me about Kelly Marcel? Well, as a writer, she's done a lot of the screenplays for Venom. As a producer, she's been a production credit on the Venom movies. She showed up in kind of some parts here and there as an actress. But in terms of like, you know, directing, is this it? This might be the one. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong category here. Director Kelly Marcel. Is this the first project? This might be the first project. So yes, a writer producer primarily for the Venom movies, a little 50 Shades of Grey, Cruella. So, you know, a good collaboration of things. You know, some crazy stuff, some CGI laden stuff. You know, a little bit of everything. So, direction in this particular movie. Well, okay, first of all, you're at the mercy of Sony, and you're at the mercy of Sony Spider-Verse, which you're already going to be behind. So, sorry. I think in terms of putting a movie together, and it's if it's not your if it's going to be your first one, and they're going to give you 130 mil to throw together you know, the third in a sequence of movies, there could have been worse things that were done, right? But when you watch this, there's nothing that's crazy that kind of stands out in terms of how bad or good things were. You know, the movie itself just overall isn't that good. So to pin it all on the director is tough. But hey, if you're given the money and you have a quality lead in Tom Hardy, let's see what we can put together. The pace of the movie is fine. See, the problem, and I'm probably wrong for doing this, is that if you're going to be the director, but you're also going to have writing credits and production credits on it as well, then you are the one that is at fault for this movie being not great. But I will tell you that if this is your first directing thing that you've ever done, maybe work on your writing and screenplay, but I think there's a chance for you to build on the momentum for this. If you would have told me, yeah, this is the first thing this person's got the directing credit for, I'd be like, really? That's okay. I wouldn't have as low a score as I'm going to give for this director if it wasn't for the fact that she really did have control on a lot of things to do with this movie, screenplay, production. So ultimately, Sony is the bad guy here, right? Don't blame me, blame Sony. But I, for a starting direction of a movie, this was fine. I can't see anything that was just majorly awful. There's a lot of things that aren't great in this movie, but ultimately, I'm going to blame this on Sony. So I'm not going to give the director an awful score, just not a good score. Is under 50% bad? Okay. Director, 7 out of 50. Okay, final category, which was pretty much the saving grace for this movie, is the cast. It's a big category. We got 20 points that we can divvy out for this. So for the cast, obviously we're going to look at the main character, Tom Hardy, playing the Eddie Brock character. Tom Hardy's great. Tom Hardy's going to be fine in pretty much anything that he ever does, cheesy, good, bad, or otherwise. And of course, in this one, he makes the best out of what he can do. He's third run in this character, so he's got the sympathy part down. He's got the emotional part down, or lack of emotion. The fumbling, bumbling character down. A lot of the voice acting, from what I understand, is him just like with a voice changer on. So he's going to be the only thing that carries this movie. We love pronunciations. Chiwetel Ejiofor. And you've seen him a lot, right? He's been hot. He's been hot lately. But he was kind of, I don't know if I would say the antagonist. I can't go that. Good old Baron Mordo was the military head trying to track down the symbiotes so that, you know, they could capture them and study them more or take care of them. And he's discovered that there is he's discovered that the reason that this Null character and the symbiotes are out there is because of this key that Eddie Brock. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so he's going to go look for Eddie and Venom so that he can, you know, make sure that nothing bad happens and save the world. Okay, fine, whatever. His character wasn't written with much depth, but whatever. He was fine. He did what he could do. Juno Temple. This was a weird add-in, but okay. Juno Temple's fine. If you watch Fargo, Fargo 2, but if you watch Ted Lasso, you know exactly who she is. So great character, real cheesy, oddball science head. You know, whatever. A lot of the characters didn't have a lot of depth to them, and she was one of them, but okay, whatever. Risa Fans was the head of the family who had was going to go to Area 51 to check out all the aliens that have, whatever. I don't understand that point of that, but they were a plot driver And he played like an eccentric father figure in the movie. Cool. He was fine. Stephen Graham showed up from his previous role as the detective. And he kind of was the one revealed because he had a symbiote. He was supposed to be dead, but they put a symbiote in him to bring him back to life. And then the symbiote told the reason why the symbiotes. He was the one that told the story of Null. Whatever. There's a lot of other people that you'll recognize in here. Christo Fernandez, also from Ted Lasso. He was the bartender that you saw in terms of the post-credit scene or the beginning of the movie. Andy Serkis shows up as the Null character, poorly animated. Lots of other random bodies and faces and people. And you know what? The beekeeper was bad. And a lot of the people that you had to interact with in that movie were bad because the acting was bad and the writing was bad. But you know what? A lot of the bodies and faces in this one, that it wasn't them, and their performances were pretty solid. I can't really say too much. The cast is what really keeps this movie going and keeps it from making it be painfully awful. But I will... Here's what I'll throw out there. I'll give the strong category score in this one a 17 out of 20. The cast really makes the movie, really carries it, really gives it the whatever performance they could give from it without making it seem too over the top and cheesy. Let's just put it that way. Overall, if we do the maths, we mathington on this, we give it a solid 60. Now, if we look at what I scored the Venom original movie at, it was 60. So you're kind of getting what you expect from this. Ken weighed in with the score because he was able to watch this and put some thoughts behind it. And yeah, he gave it a 75. He must be really balling on this one. Really thought highly of the production value and the storyline. We don't often differ too much on the scores, but 60 for me, 75 for Ken. So that's a pretty big gap compared to what we normally have. So yeah, there's the score. If you've got some time and you got 2 hours and you like the first couple, watch it. It's on Netflix. Have at it. You know what? If you haven't watched any of the Venom movies and you're like, oh, hey, this one. Don't waste your time. Just go watch something else cooler. Otherwise, keep coming back to us weekly. We'll have some stuff. There's a lot of things going on in Marvel Land. There's a lot of TV shows, lots of movies. There's lots of good things for us to discuss. So we'll always be discussing something new. And until next week, thanks for listening.